Welcome to the Banner of Truth broadcast. The following program of inspiration is brought to you by the Free Reformed Churches of North America. You can find one or more Free Reformed Churches in this station's listening area. And now, the Banner of Truth with Pastor Hans Overduun, the minister of the Calgary Free Reformed Church.
They're praying right now. Have you ever said that? Coming to the family table late, maybe? Where someone is leading in prayer, also for God's blessing on the meal? Or maybe attending a meeting and coming late and they started already and praying when you walk in with a few others? You come in talking, but then turn to your friends saying, "Shh, they're praying right now." I begin this sermon this way now, dear friends, because with Daniel chapter 9 before us, we are given to enter into a private room with Daniel as he is praying to God. You and I are right to enter this place with due reverence and respect while we listen to Daniel, this Old Testament man of God, call upon the Lord in earnest prayer. Our text chapter for this broadcast gives one of the great prayers recorded in the Holy Bible. Let us think about it under the theme, A Blessed Prayer of True Repentance. We will consider the character of this prayer, the comfort with this prayer, and the call with this prayer. The character of this prayer comes out in the context and content of the verses 1 to 19 of Daniel chapter 9. Daniel is a captive Jew still in Babylon. He has been there almost 70 years now, and he has served faithfully in the various high positions given to him by the heathen kings, by God's leading. And now he's under a new king because the Babylonian Empire has been taken over by the Medes and Persians, with King Cyrus and Darius as the new monarchs on the throne. In Daniel chapters 7 and 8, Daniel had received a dream and a vision from God, giving him insight into the future. Daniel knew whatever happened, nothing was unknown to God, nor outside his overruling power. But what now was it specifically that was bringing Daniel to prayer then, according to our text? It was the fact that Daniel had been reading from the inspired writing of prophet Jeremiah. Daniel called Jeremiah's writings the word of the Lord. That is how we view the Bible when it is well. This book, the Bible, is not man's writing. It's not human ideas full of negotiable, debatable teaching. No, but it's God's inspired, holy, authoritative, unchanging, infinitely reliable word for all people at all times. In Jeremiah 25:11, Jeremiah had foretold about Judah, "And this whole land shall be a desolation and an astonishment, and these nations shall serve the king of Babylon 70 years. And in Jeremiah 29:10, we read, Jeremiah having prophesied, "For thus saith the Lord, that after 70 years be accomplished at Babylon, I will visit you, and perform my good word toward you, in causing you to return to this place." And you see now, texts like these helped lead Daniel in prayer, because Daniel knew it was about 70 years already of their time of captivity in Babylon, and when would God now act then according to his word and promises, as found in the book of Jeremiah? So here is a first pointer about true prayer to God, dear friends. True prayer is based on and related to God's word always. Are your and my prayers on the basis of and in line with God's word? Daniel was a man of prayer, something we learn throughout the book of Daniel. And what led him to be such a man of prayer was his being often into God's word. Not reading scripture and prayerlessness go together often, just as often reading and meditating on God's word goes together usually with being a person of earnest prayer to God. What is another characteristic of Daniel's prayer that jumps out from this scripture passage before us? Well, don't you see with me, you can't miss it hardly, how Daniel is so God-focused in his prayer. The point is, Daniel views God as the one only true God and the most glorious God, so reliable and full of loving kindness and tender mercies, though ever so just and holy too. Daniel lives in awe and respect of God, and his prayer so reflects this as well. He lives in trust of his covenant God. How do you view God when you come to him in prayer? Consider from our text passage, Daniel 9, how different attributes of God are highlighted by Daniel in his prayer. He thinks highly of God. In verse 4, he speaks of God as great and dreadful, meaning most fearful or awesome, and as the one who keeps covenant, so as the one who's most faithful and the one who's merciful. In verse 7, Daniel mentions he knows righteousness belongs to God, something he further brings out in verse 14, stating there, "For the Lord our God is righteous in all his works which he does." In verse 9, Daniel mentions mercies and forgivenesses belong to God. And in verse 18, he speaks of God's great mercies. Oh, true prayer is scripture-based, and true prayer is God-focused. Is that the way you and I pray too? Something else that is so evident all throughout Daniel's prayer is that he prays in all humility before God and with truly repentant heart before the Lord. Over and over in this prayer, Daniel confesses the sins of the people of Israel and Judah. And you notice Daniel includes himself in this prayer of repentance. Verse 5 and 6, "We have sinned and have committed iniquity," he says, "and have done wickedly, and have rebelled, even by departing from thy precepts and from thy judgments. Neither have we hearkened unto thy servants, the prophets." Notice he speaks in verse 20 about confessing my sin and the sin of my people, Israel. His repentance is specific, and it is intense, as we can learn too from verse 3, as Daniel comes before God with fasting and sackcloth and ashes, all expressions of deep sorrow and sincere brokenness of heart for all their sins and sinfulness. As Daniel speaks of the 70-year period soon being over, he doesn't pray, notice. He doesn't pray saying, "Okay, Lord, it is time for the next promise to be fulfilled." If Babylon became world ruler in 609 BC, and now with the Medo-Persians under King Cyrus and Darius, it was about 539 BC. Daniel doesn't ask here, "70 years are up now, so let's get on with it and get the Jews back to Jerusalem as you promised, God." No. But notice he, in all humility, comes before God, confessing the sins of himself and of all the covenant people of God, acknowledging their total unworthiness of any blessing from God, and deserving only his righteous wrath and condemnation for all their sins, and yet asking for God's mercy and grace nevertheless. What makes him plead for God's mercy is God's own character and his promises and the glory of his own name. Listen here to verse 19 again, where we hear Daniel pray, "O Lord, hear. O Lord, forgive. O Lord, hearken and do. Defer not for thine own sake, O my God, for thy city and people are called by thy name." Is your and my prayer to God prayer in humbleness of heart and with true repentance before God for our sins and sinfulness? Surely never is there no reason for genuine and ongoing hearty repentance of sin before the Lord. The most godly people are the truly repentant people, and those always realizing there is endless reasons for repentance of sin before God. Healthy, holy Christians are people genuinely repentant and increasingly repentant of sin. Does that make sense to you? God's people like Daniel seek to live holy lives by God's grace and Spirit, and yet acknowledge so much sin and sinfulness still in their lives. When it is well with our soul, Our single trust and most joyful comfort is, as Daniel expresses also in verse 9, to the Lord our God belong mercies and forgivenesses, though we have rebelled against him. What this verse brings out, dear friends, is yet a fourth characteristic of this blessed prayer of true repentance, and that is, not only is it scripture-based and God-focused and full of sincere humility and hearty sorrow for sin, but it is Christ-focused. True repentance goes together always with true faith in the Lord, as revealed in Christ, the Savior of sinners. Where does that come out in Daniel's prayer, you ask? Well, look at Daniel pleading God's covenant faithfulness. Which covenant of grace we know ultimately promised the Messiah, who would come to bring full deliverance from all our bondage to sin, Satan, death, and hell. So hear Daniel pray then, and ask in verse 16, O Lord, according to all thy righteousness, I beseech thee, let thine anger and thy fury be turned away from thy city Jerusalem, thy holy mountain, because for our sins and for the iniquities of our fathers, Jerusalem and thy people are become a reproach to all that are about us. Oh, this prayer of Daniel would be answered in a most gracious way, when God in the fullness of time, in perfect righteousness and yet everlasting mercy, poured out all his wrath for sin on Jesus, the crucified one, on Golgotha, as he, as the just for the unjust, paid the full punishment for sin, as substitute for sinners like us. True repentance is only found and exercised genuinely and positively in the way of faith in God and his gospel promises. We see that so clearly here in this prayer of Daniel, a most blessed prayer of true repentance before God. True repentance is always something so positive because it brings us before the one only true God in humility of heart and in dependence on God's grace and mercy alone. And God is full of great mercy for all poor and needy sinners who come to him, guilty and vile in themselves, looking to him for his grace and mercy. As Daniel says in the second half of verse 18, we do not present our supplications before thee for our righteousnesses, for he knew that they had none and never would have in themselves, but he says, for thy great mercies. That's why he came in repentance, for God's great mercies. Well, again, let me ask here, how does this all relate to us now, to you and to me? Are you and I a truly repentant people before God in the way Daniel was in his day? How many people live without true repentance of sin? Alas! How important that you and I live in true faith and repentance before God. Always where there is true faith in Christ, there is genuine, humble repentance of sin as well, by God's grace and Spirit. A true Christian is a repentant sinner. No, it is not that repentance makes us worthy of God's grace and mercy. No, but being repentant of sin is so interlinked with true faith in God that never is true faith without repentance, or true repentance without faith. Daniel here was an old man in our text passage, at least in his 80s, and he was a holy man of God. Yet how humble and repentant of heart we find him in our text passage. How much of this true and ongoing humility and repentance of heart before God and others is there in our lives, yours and mine? In today's church world even, how little sin is mentioned, it seems. It is like sin is a politically incorrect term. People don't mention it, and repentance is hardly called for. But if we won't confess our sins and sinfulness, and we won't repent, we don't and we won't understand nor grasp the gospel promises either. In Israel's sinful history and constant tendency to evil and transgression, we need to see a picture of ourselves by nature. When there is little confession of sin, there is little appreciation of Christ and little true devotion to him if any at all. The most godly, useful, holy, positive, and zealous people of God in all history have been the truly repentant people of God, looking to Jesus as only Savior and Lord. Does that include you and me too now, by God's grace? To encourage exactly this, notice with me our second main point about Daniel's prayer, turning from the character of this prayer to the comfort with this prayer. Here, consider with me how throughout the prayer of repentance, Daniel found refuge, trusting in God's mercy and faithfulness to his gospel promises. The great wonder of the Christian faith is that God has made a way to continue as triune God, full of perfect righteousness and justice, and yet to reveal himself as so infinitely gracious and merciful to sinners like us. And again, what is that way, can you say? That way, the only gospel way, is found ultimately in Christ, the Savior of sinners. You see, God's anger and fury against sin would be turned away from sinners like us and poured out instead upon the promised Messiah, Jesus Christ, the Savior of sinners. This explains all Jesus' suffering for sin and his death on the cross of Calvary. The Lord laid upon him the iniquity of his people, and by Jesus' shed blood, that is, by his perfect once-for-all sacrifice for sin, even to the death of the cross, there is now complete remission of sins and everlasting forgiveness of sins found with him, even for all who repent of sin and trust and follow him. In the latter part of this chapter, Daniel chapter 9, this is all made very clear also to Daniel in answer to his prayer of repentance before the Lord. In verse 21, Daniel gets told by the angel Gabriel that the Lord heard his prayer and would indeed be merciful and full of forgiveness and loving kindness, all for his own name's sake. The comfort Daniel could have looking to the Lord in repentance and faith is most precious and real and unending. And this may be the comfort for all God's people throughout the ages, including today in our times. Trusting and following Jesus Christ, the crucified and risen and forever exalted Savior of sinners, now seated at God's right hand in glory above. Oh, dear friends, we may have comfort for soul and body, and comfort in life and death, comfort for now and forever. Comfort that doesn't prove false and fatal in the long run, but comfort that's real and flawless and divinely guaranteed for now and forevermore. All other religions and every other hope of mankind for this life and the future world is utterly hopeless and totally useless and completely foolish and false, because it's all based on satanic lies and man's own ideas and deceit and mankind's blinded sinful imaginations. But here is the word of God proclaiming the only good news for guilty, defiled sinners like us, you and me, what the scriptures teach us. Yes, as we read in John 3:36, he that believes on the Son has everlasting life, and he that believes not the Son shall not see life, but the wrath of God abides or remains on him. Daniel in his day saw the wrath of God fall on the wicked and unbelieving people of Judah, as well as the unbelieving people of the world, and he saw God's wrath come upon the ungodly heathen nations in his day. Daniel, in true repentance of heart before God, pleaded the Lord's mercy and grace and was not put to shame. Are we like him in our day, trusting the Lord in true repentance and faith? Can your children or your siblings or your parents or your friends have reason to say of you and of me, living also in our evil times, "Shh, he's praying," or "she's calling right now upon God in prayer"? Are you a prayer, praying in repentance and faith? More importantly, does God know you and me as prayers before him, praying in humble repentance of sin and in true and hearty faith before him, something like Daniel did in our text passage, Daniel chapter 9? Isn't this the great need of the hour, living in our godless times? What better hope can there be also for our nations, thinking too of the birthdays of both United States of Canada on this July weekend. Daniel's comfort in ever looking to God in true prayer and hearty dependence on God's gospel word and promises kept him going by God's grace all through those long 70 years in heathen Babylon. And as heathen kings came and went, Daniel persevered, and God upheld him till his last day before he went to glory. Is it any different for God's true people today, living in the perilous times and ungodly world we live in now? Oh, this blessed prayer of true repentance, does it find an echo in your and my heart and life even now? With that question, we come to our third point about this prayer. Having considered something of the character of this prayer and the comfort with this prayer, hear yet the call with this prayer. Surely this prayer is recorded for us that we might see and learn each one and together the need for and the blessing of true prayer to God and genuine repentance before him and hearty trust in the Lord and his word. In other words, we look at this prayer now not just for our information, dear friends, but for our transformation too. The gracious gospel call is that we all, younger and older, come to God and humble ourselves before him in true repentance and faith, as Daniel here in our text. In Acts 5:31, we read about Peter saying to all peoples, especially those who were disputing the gospel, Peter tells them about Christ, the crucified and risen Savior. And what does he say about him? Listen, him has God exalted with his right hand to be a prince and a Savior, for to give repentance to Israel and forgiveness of sins. Peter is saying whoever repents of sin and believes Christ Jesus as only Savior and Lord becomes the true spiritual Israel of God. That's the gospel promise and the gospel riches and the gospel truth. Are you a sinner needing forgiveness and clearing and cleansing of your guilty conscience before God and your defiled sinful life before God and your neighbor? Confess your sins and sinfulness. And God's promise is, as we have it in 1 John 1, verse 9, if we confess our sins, God is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. Yes, the blood of Jesus Christ, God's Son, cleanses us from all sin, John says in 1 John 1, verse 7. If you will not repent of your sins, however, but discount them or deny them, you will perish in your sins and die without hope or remedy, with no Savior, only to be cast into hell then forevermore. So we read in Proverbs 28, verse 13, most clearly, he that covers his sins shall not prosper, but whoso confesses and forsakes them shall have mercy. To drive home the call to repentance, just ask yourself about each of the Ten Commandments and examine your life honestly now before God and others, noting how you and I sin against all those commandments all too much and all too often and all too easily. You have other gods before the Lord. Be honest. You worship God as you think and not as he calls for. You take his name in vain. You dishonor the Lord's day many times and in many ways. You don't respect God's authority structure, not just dishonoring your parents, but so many others, even your teachers and the police or church-appointed leaders, not to mention government leaders. You reflect an unloving and even hateful, murderous heart towards others you really dislike. You commit adultery in your thoughts, words, and deeds. God knows how often. You steal, if you can get away with it, even in most civil-like ways, taking advantage of others. You bear false witness in more ways than can be told. You covet what others have and can be so envious and materialistic and worldly-minded. If people only knew how much, really. If you say, but Pastor, how can you say that all? Well, think of Jesus' summary of the Ten Commandments as given in the Gospels, like in Mark 12, verse 30 to 31. There Jesus says, keeping the law, the Ten Commandments, is all about what? About loving God with all your heart and with all your soul and with all your mind and with all your strength. And it is about loving your neighbor as yourself. Well, who of us perfectly measures up to that holy standard any day of our life? Even on our very best days, we sin and transgress God's commandments in countless ways, in our thoughts, words, and deeds. And there is not a second where I am not needing to be repentant of sin and not wholly dependent on God's undeserved mercy and grace for Jesus' sake alone. Isn't this the confession of faith of all God's true people? Yes, of Daniel too, in our text chapter. Thank God where sin abounds, grace does much more abound for all found in Christ, trusting and following Jesus, the Savior, with repentant and believing heart. Yes, because Jesus, as given by God the Father, is so perfect and endlessly resourceful, Savior of sinners, mighty to save and full of plentiful redemption for all who come to Him for a first time and again and again and again for as long as we live. And so the call with this sermon is, dear friends, to live in repentance of sin and in faith in Jesus Christ and in devotion to Him, the Lord Jesus, as only Savior and God over all, together with the Father and the Holy Spirit. The time is fulfilled, said Jesus, and the kingdom of God is at hand. Repent ye and believe the gospel. Will you hear the gospel call while it is yet the day of grace and before it is forever too late? Who doesn't need this gospel word today? Even so, let me end this message with a prayer based on Psalm 51. When David repented of his sin, praying as expressed in the Psalter version of that psalm, God, be merciful to me. On thy grace I rest my plea. Plenteous in compassion thou, blot out my transgressions now. Wash me, make me pure within. Cleanse, O cleanse me from my sin. I am evil, born in sin. Thou desirest truth within. Thou alone my Savior art. Teach thy wisdom to my heart. Make me pure, thy grace bestow. Wash me whiter than the snow. Oh, dear friends, so coming to the Lord in repentant prayer, Daniel chapter 9 assures us the Savior God such prayer will surely hear. In Jesus' name, thus says the Lord. Amen. Dear friends, this radio broadcast is not meant as a substitute for worshiping in a faithful Bible-believing church. If you are not currently worshiping in such a church, you are most welcome to come to our services. To learn about the Free Reformed Churches in your area, check our website at www.frcna.org. Again, www.frcna.org. If you have been blessed by this message, or you would like a free copy of today's broadcast, you can write to The Banner of Truth, 680 Brook Park Drive, Southwest, Calgary, Alberta, T2W2R1. That's The Banner of Truth, 680 Brook Park Drive, Southwest, Calgary, Alberta, T2W2R1. We are always glad to hear from our listeners. And now, until next week, the Lord be with you all.
For more information about the Banner of Truth and the Free Reformed Churches of North America, visit our website at www.frcna.org. These radio messages are also being posted on the Internet and can be downloaded for free. Visit www.sermonaudio.com and search on the Banner of Truth. Please join us again next week for the Banner of Truth broadcast.